Amen. Well, at Grace Point, we believe that no matter what we face with God, there is always hope. Amen? And that's what we're talking about these last few weeks, that as we're walking through valleys, struggling with mental health issues, mental illness, that even in the face of difficult days and times, that we believe that with God, there is hope. And so I'm thankful that you're here this morning to walk through with me through this time. As we look at the scriptures this morning, the second service was jam-packed. Amen. And then it hit me. The Cowboys kick off at noon. So the pagans came to the second service. The godly are here now. So glad that you're here. You didn't let that stop you. So the last few weeks we've been talking through some just kind of some tough topics, I think. Mental health, mental illness, and anxiety last week. And today I want to talk to you about the truth about depression. And the backdrop, of course, is that there's always hope, regardless of what we face, even if we're walking through times of depression. So just to share a couple things on the front end. First of all, some of you are walking through it right now. Some of you are probably right in the middle of it, and you're in a deep valley and dealing with depression. Maybe you've dealt with it for a long time. So some of you are there, and I'm hoping that this message encourages you. Certainly in many ways. And then some of you aren't there. Maybe you never have been. But this message, I hope, will encourage you to be able to encourage others that are walking through. Maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a child, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend, a mom or a dad, wherever it may be, that they're walking through it. And so as you begin to understand a little more, that it will help you and encourage you, minister and encourage those who are walking through the valley of depression, who are dealing with that. I certainly also recognize that a 35 or 40 minute sermon doesn't cure everything, and I don't want to come at it with that perspective or that idea. But I do believe that as we see what God's Word has to say to us about it, that we can again have hope, and that we can find this pathway to hope and healing as we walk through a time or season of depression. I want you to know this. If you're struggling with depression, I want you to know that you are not alone. Millions of people struggle, wrestle, walk through this valley of depression in the United States and throughout the whole world. Depression has been a part of the human condition since the fall. And as we look at the Bible, we see, I think, people that battled depression. I think when you read the Psalms, I think you see David had seasons of depression. He thought his life was over. He didn't know where God was. He didn't know how this was going to work out. I think David, I think Elijah, who was asking God if he could die, I think he battled through times of depression. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, I think the Apostle Paul, I think he had his times where he certainly, if he didn't battle it, he had to fight it off. We'll talk about that towards the end of the message also. But depression and bipolar disorders affect millions of people in our country and in our world today. Family and friends of individuals diagnosed are affected too. You may today feel hopeless. You may feel overwhelmed. You may feel confused. You may feel helpless. Sometimes it deals with feelings of guilt, shame, sadness, fear. All of these are things you deal with as you're walking through a time of depression. So what I want to do, I'm going to give you a lot. There's a lot of information here today. If you're a note taker, man, this is your day if you're a note taker. There's a lot of notes. I'll go fairly quickly through this. I don't have time to, you know, like I said, 35, 40 minutes, you're not going to cover the whole subject of depression. So there's a lot of things I don't get to. I won't get to, but out on these tables, I've added more resources, so that's big to me. It's important to me that you get resources and you get resources in your hands, and so some of the things I'm going to be reading today, I've put out there at the table, so if you'll check on your way out near the doors, you'll see these things. Let me give you just, again, some of it's going to be just real practical stuff, and then certainly the biblical foundation of how we can find hope and healing and walk through a time of depression and have victory in the midst of it. So first of all, I want to give you what are 10 symptoms of depression. Certainly there are more, but these are kind of, as I've read through a lot on depression and think, These are 10 that seem to be very common with people that are dealing with depression, okay? Number one, feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. A bleak outlook, nothing will ever get better, and there's nothing you can do to improve your situation. You start thinking that way. Second, number two, a loss of interest in daily activities. You don't care anymore about former hobbies, about pastimes, social activities. You've lost the ability to feel joy and pleasure. You may be saying, I just wish I could be happy like those people are. I wish I had some joy like those people have. Appetite, number three, appetite or weight changes. Significant weight loss or weight gain is another symptom. Number four, sleep changes, either insomnia, especially waking in the early hours of the morning, or oversleeping. Now, I would say on this, in just a minute, we're going to talk about facts over feeling. And the whole, what we're really focusing on today is the truth of God's word, right, to push out the lies depression says to us. The truth of God's word pushing out the lies that depression says to us. Now, one of the things here in terms of symptoms is the sleep changes. You probably know this, but you know, I'll just state it, and I've been there before for sure. But when you do not sleep well and you run a string of those together, okay, night after night after night after night, it profoundly impacts the way you think and see things. When you are not sleeping well, it's going to impact the way you see things. Okay, now we all have nights and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a pattern here. If you're walking through depression, you're not sleeping well. I mean, you are not thinking clearly. And as I've said before, but I'll state it again, when you're not thinking clearly, the problem is because you're not thinking clearly, you don't know you're not thinking clearly. You think you are, but you're not because you're not thinking clearly. And so you're not seeing well. You're not seeing it right. You don't seem like you used to. And sleep dramatically impacts your mind and the way you see things. Number five, anger or irritability is another symptom. Feeling agitated, restless, or even violent. Your tolerance level is low. Your temper is short, and everything and everyone gets on your nerves. Number six, loss of energy. You feel fatigued, sluggish, physically drained. Your whole body may feel heavy, and even small tasks are exhausting or take longer to complete. You have the idea of, I don't even want to get out of bed because I can't face the day. Just the thought of even the small things that you have to accomplish are overwhelming. You have that loss of energy. You have, number seven, strong feelings of worthlessness or guilt. You harshly criticize yourself for perceived faults and mistakes. Reckless behavior. Some people engage in escapist behavior. Number nine, concentration problems. Trouble focusing, making decisions, or remembering things. Number 10, unexplained aches and pains. This is another symptom. An increase in physical complaints such as headaches, back pain, aching muscles, and stomach aches. So these are some of these symptoms of depression. Now, here's what I would say on the front end of this. If you're struggling with some of these and you have some of these, or you think, man, I've got 9 out of 10 of those, or I've got 10 out of 10 of those, or I've got a lot of those. If you have one of those, I think, you know, we can all just have one of those, I think, on bad days. But if there's consistently we're having a number of these, my encouragement to you and maybe your next step is to go see your medical doctor and talk to your doctor about this, okay? I'm certainly not that. I'm just giving you some information to help you maybe determine, and then also to help you recognize maybe in others that are struggling that you see these things and possibly could be depression. But your doctor can help you diagnose that. Let me also say this, as I said last week, I think the pathway forward through depression, anxiety, and other things, first and foremost, will always be God's word as your foundation, God's way, the truth of God's word, how he sees who you are, the way that we should walk through it. No question, I said from week one, we must invite God into our healing. I believe that's foundational and that's critical, no question. That being said, the pathway may lead you to a doctor that then prescribes medicine, antidepressants to help you find victory over that depression. So, as I said before, I'm not against that. I know different views on that, but I think there are times, certainly. Now, I'm not saying you should run out to your doctor, get antidepressants just to take care of it, and neglect what I think is first and foremost, which is God, your relationship in Christ, and the Word of God, right? But sometimes that pathway forward does involve that, and that's why I think it's important for you to see a doctor to help you determine that. So let me share with you then some phrases that are not helpful to people who are going through depression. It's things we don't want to say to people that are going through depression. Things like, we all go through times like this. We don't say that. It's not helpful. Things like, it's all in your head, or you'll be fine. Stop worrying. Look on the bright side. Just snap out of it. What's wrong with you? Shouldn't you be better by now? There are people suffering with bigger problems than you have. These things are not encouraging to people that are walking through times of depression. But what you can say that might be helpful are things such as, you are not alone in this. I am here for you. I may not understand exactly how you feel, but I care about you and I want to help. You are important to me. Tell me what I can do to encourage you most. We will get through this together. And then sometimes it's just saying, can I just sit with you? Maybe it's not even talking. Maybe it's just the ministry of presence. Things that can help people that are walking through difficult times. One writer says this, depression can cloud our view of God. And that's really my main focus today. That's what happens. Depression can cloud our view of God, weigh down our spirits, and distort reality and tempt us to question all that we know to be true. That's what happens. That's what happens in depression. Sometimes our depression is due to circumstances that have pounded us wave upon wave until we can no longer hold our heads above the water. Other times it comes as a result of illness. As Charles Spurgeon wrote, you may be without any real reason for grief and yet may be among the most unhappy of men because for the time, your body has conquered your soul. Depression clouds our view of God, weighs down our spirit, distorts reality, and tempts us to question all that we know to be true. Last year, about this time, I did this series, and there was a program that came on that I started watching. It caught my attention because the subject matter, it's called A Million Little Things. And in that show, the premise, the focus of that show is a group of friends, and one of the people commits, in the very first episode, commits suicide. And then the show is then about everyone responding to that and to his suicide, from family to wife to daughter to kids to close friends. And so I watched it just because, you know, the subject matter and I was interested. And there was a clip in there that caught my attention about depression, a girl who I thought described it well. And so I want you to watch that. And it's not the first, just towards the end of the clip.
Yeah, to a lot of people, still taboo. On my dad's side, they're like, we black, we don't talk about that, we got Jesus.
Maybe he just lost sight of the horizon. I was watching this documentary on JFK Jr. You remember when his plane went down?
July 16th, 1999. It's my birthday.
No, your birthday is the 12th. This is the only grown man ever in existence to celebrate his birthday for a whole week. Happy birth week is not a thing.
Anyway, Kennedy was an office pilot and he was flying at night and the clouds came in. His instruments were telling him which way was up, but he didn't trust them. The truth was right in front of him and he couldn't see it. And he lost sight of the horizon and nosedived. And by the time he realized what was happening, it was too late. He couldn't pull up.
And what does this have to do with?
That's depression.
Get help.
So you lose sight of the horizon. You stop trusting what you know is right and truth. And that's what happens to us, I think. In times of depression, we stop trusting what we know is truth. And as we go through the time, just like some of these that I want to look at this morning, for Job, for instance, battled, I think, depression. He went through, a horrific time of losing everything. And his wife comes along and says in Job chapter 2, verse 9, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Are you still going to trust him, God? Curse God and die. But then in Job chapter 3, verse 26, he says, I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. So he was battling. He was battling, knowing the truth. And we're going to see here that he chose to then trust the truth. Now, I want you to hear that. I'm not saying that those feelings you have, that you're not having those feelings and those thoughts aren't real. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is what we have to learn today and what we have to do to find victory over this is we have to recognize the lies and then we bring truth, right, into the face of the lies of depression, the truth from what God says. Because that is our standard. That is our truth. That's what we choose to believe. Even if we don't feel it, this is what we choose to believe. So I want to give you this morning five truths in the face of depression's lies, okay? Takeaway number one is this, first of all. Depression doesn't mean God is punishing you. Depression doesn't mean God is punishing you. I think it can be easy to think, and then talking to people who are walking through it, to think that their depression is a result of God is not happy with me. He's punishing me for things in the past, something that I've done. And so this is the result of that. But that's not how God works. We know that. That's not what the Bible teaches. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we know that we are forgiven. God's not punishing us for something we've done in the past. Those are the lies that come into our mind. Depression fills our minds with lies, tempting us to believe that our feelings are an accurate indicator of how God sees us. That's what happens. How we feel, we say, is accurate of how God then sees us. If we feel unlovable, if we feel that, which I think we all struggle with that at times, if we feel unlovable, we must be unloved. If we feel sad, we must be hopeless. If we feel lonely, we must be alone. And so what we have to do, what you must do to find victory over this, is you have to fight back against those lies that come into your mind. You have to fight back. And even in the midst of darkness, you have to grab a hold of truth. It's here. Okay, it's right in front of us. Job chapter 13, verse 15. That's what he did. He says that, though he slay me, I will hope in him. He knew the truth. He knew the hope that he had. We have to fight back against the lies. One writer says it this way, though we may struggle to digest much scripture, and though the words of a hopeful person may bounce right off our hardened shell of depression, we anchor our feet firmly in the truth that we are forgiven and loved by God in Christ, not in our ability to feel his love. Because in times of depression, we won't feel that. We don't feel loved. We at times feel unloved. So how do we then, what must we do then to make sure that we're fighting against these lies? There's three things on your notes there. Number one, here's the first thing. You have to distinguish between fact and feeling. Between truth and feeling. The truth of what God says versus the way that I feel. And so much of the time in the midst of depression, our feelings have very little connection to reality. But yet sometimes we just buy in and and that's where the problem starts. We start to believe the lies. We start to believe the lies about ourselves. We start to believe the lie that this will never get better. We start to believe that I'm never going to have victory over it. We start to believe I'm always going to be this way. And then we talk like last week, we run way ahead and we're just not thinking clearly. And we're buying into the lies instead of what we know is the truth. So we have to distinguish between fact and feeling. Today is a time for war, not peace. It's a time for faith and not sight. It's a time of grievous trials and test the genuineness of your faith. So it's a time to prepare for the action of battle, to keep clear-minded, your battle today will not be against flesh and blood, but the deceitful forces of evil. They come against your mind and they try to use your emotions against you. So we have to think clearly. Now, sometimes we're too tired to fight and we need other people to fight for us. I don't know if I just shared this, man. It's all running together in my head right now. But did I share about the girl I did a funeral for who committed suicide? Did I share that in this? Okay, thank you. I mean, it's just all up there right now. So this idea of fighting for somebody. I did a funeral for a girl recently, and she'd committed suicide, a young girl. And so after the service, I'm on the front row. People are walking by the casket, pay their last respects. A lady comes over, sits down next to me, and she says to me, introduce herself, and she says to me, you know, I just wish she would have told me about her struggle because I would have fought for her. I wanted to fight for her when she was too tired to fight. Sometimes depression gets us to that place. We're just too tired. This, my friends, this is when you must reach out for help. This is when you must reach out for help. When you're at that place where you're feeling hopeless, nothing will ever change, nobody's going to miss me, I'm not needed, and these lies come into our minds. And so we have to distinguish between fact and feeling. So we bring the truth of God's word to come against the lies. Here's the second thing. Number two, reality is defined by God's word. Reality is defined by God's word, right? Emotions are meant to be gauges, not guides. Emotions are meant to be gauges, not guides. So we're not going to be driven by our emotions, right? We recognize them. They're more gauges than they are guides. And reality, then, is defined by what God's word says. So the Bible has to become our anchor. We're not thinking clearly. We're not seeing clearly. We're struggling. What does the Bible say? What is God's word? Look, this is how you're going to get through it. This is how you will get through it. When you have the word of God as your anchor, God is your anchor. That's why I speak confidently with hope. That this is our anchor, and the truth of God's word is what leads us through the times of darkness and times of depression, because reality is defined by God's word. Number three, faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is simply believing that God will do what he says he will do, even when we don't feel like he's going to, even when we don't feel his presence. We have faith because faith is not a feeling. So we want to make sure we're discerning between the truth of God's word, right, and what we're feeling. Depression doesn't mean God is punishing you if you feel that way. We know the truth of that. Truth is that God is not punishing you for mistakes or for your past. You're in this season, which leads me to second takeaway number two, is depression does not mean God has left you. Depression does not mean that God has left you. Depression can cause us to feel an overwhelming sense of loneliness. We feel like the world is going on without us. The loneliness can cause us to feel like God has abandoned us. I think Job felt it for a while. I think David felt it for a while, and he lived it. Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. Maybe you felt that way. Where are you, God? Where is God? I don't feel it. I just don't feel it. I'm not feeling his presence. My prayers aren't getting heard yet. And we start to feel like God has abandoned us. Depression, the lies of depression tell us that. But depression does not mean God has left you. So that's our feeling. But now then what we do? We bring truth, right? We bring truth into that lie. We bring the truth of God's word into the lie. Here's the truth. Psalm 33, verse 13. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. That's truth. That God does see. God has not abandoned us. Psalm 139 says, God knows when I rise and God knows when I sit. He is with me every single second of every single day, even if I don't feel like it. Just because I don't feel like it doesn't mean it's true. The truth is what God says. And so we bring that truth against the lie that depression tells us through our feelings and our emotions. Depression does not mean God has abandoned us or God has left us. So we're walking in when the kids are walking in with the kids as they're little, and we're walking across the parking lot. I got two, Karen's got two, and when we're walking through the parking lot with them, I hold their hands. They don't hold mine. There's a difference. So if they're holding my hand like this, they see something they want, they let go and they're gone. But if I am holding their hand, which I did, it didn't matter how much they jerked, ran away, tried to get away, they are not going anywhere. Because I've got their hand right there in mine. So when we talk about the presence of God, it's one right. Ultimately, your hope in depression hinges on Jesus. He is holding on to you even when it feels like you are free falling. You might be in the dark, but your shepherd is walking right beside you. So that's truth in the face of the depression lie that says, yeah, God's not with me. God's abandoned me. I'm in this time of darkness all by myself. Psalm 23 tells us just the opposite. Takeaway number three, depression does not change your value. Depression does not change your value. Depression can make you feel and ask, does anyone need me? Does anyone see me? No one would miss me if I was not here anymore, if I were not here anymore. Right? Those are the lies that the adversary and depression tells us. We're not buying those lies. We're not believing those lies. We say, no, we fight back with what the truth is, right? So we bring the scriptures in to say this is what the truth is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. This is a value verse of how God values us. It says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Okay, that's truth right there. That's the truth. That's the value statement right there. In which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? So that's the value. That's how God sees you. It's not what depression tells us, is that we're not important anymore. We're not valuable. So this is an opportunity also for us to encourage people who are walking through it to reaffirm their value, to reaffirm that they're needed, to reaffirm that they're seen, to reaffirm that God is present, but you are present too with them. Catherine Butler says this, sufferers of depression desperately need reminders of Christ's love. There's an article I put out here. It's on the resource table, Why Christian Love Matters in Depression. Catherine Butler is the lady who wrote it. She's a trauma surgeon. She's got kids, a mom, a wife, and she walked through just various, she says in her article, deep, dark depression. And she wrote this article in response to it and what the Lord showed her and how she learned and grew through that. And so I don't have time to read the whole thing, but it's one of the best. I've done a lot of reading on depression this year and last year. This is one of the best ones, and I think from a medical even point of view, she speaks to it, but also from a spiritual point of view and from a mom and a wife. But here's what she says. She talks in the first part of the article about walking into a church and how she was in this deep, dark place of depression. And then she talks about her journey through that and the role really the church played. And then she ends with this kind of towards the end of her article. She says, when I awkwardly stepped into that church building more than a decade ago, those present could not discern my agony, but they saw me. But they saw me. They saw me. Let's just make sure now, me included, that we're not so busy doing our own little thing in church that we don't see people sitting right behind us, in front of us, around us, walking by us in the lobby that are deeply hurting. We may not see that hurt, but we want to see them. That's what she says. They saw me. They saw me. They acknowledged me. They beheld me as another image bearer of God, worthy of love, won by Christ. They offered fellowship. They opened their homes and their lives to a stranger. They shared books, offered unconditional embraces. They inquired. They listened. They prayed. When I finally shared these struggles within my soul, where she starts to talk about her bouts with depression, they still loved me. The table fellowship continued. The books still exchanged hands. The embraces just lingered a bit longer. The prayers became more poignant and more fervent. They didn't reprimand me or offer advice. They simply partnered with me and fought for me, holding on to me while the waves of grief ebbed and flowed. Their efforts didn't chase away the darkness. They didn't cure my depression or jolt my mind awake with a burst of hope, but they did reflect Christ's love and in so doing buoyed me through the most turbulent, darkest times. They reminded me, even while I was steeped in hopelessness and shame, even when I couldn't believe their words, that Christ lived and died and rose for me. They reminded me. And then, like a shaft of light glittering through murky waters, that truth, that love penetrated through. Depression does not mean you are no longer valuable. God says you are, and then we as a church, we come alongside you to affirm that you're loved, seen, needed, and valued. Takeaway number four, depression does not make you useless. Depression does not make you useless. As a matter of fact, right where you are in the midst of it, God, I think, can use you greatly. Certainly in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers," Paul's writing, "of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." That's how much weight was on him. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." They thought it was over, right? Now watch this. "But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf. So in that time, God was using them to minister to other people and providing opportunities for other people to minister to them. Depression does not make you useless. And though you may feel useless under the cloud of depression, nothing is further from the truth. When we feel hopeless, but we keep moving forward in faith, we realize that someone greater is holding us up. And as we walk through that, it is a light to the others who see you walking through your time of darkness. It's a witness and a testimony to the grace and the power of God. Depression does not mean that you're useless. As a matter of fact, it may be that your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest valley. Depression does not make us useless. God still uses us. Now, here's what I want to say. I want to bring this thing, land the plane. So here we go. So if you, a couple things here, and some of it's real practical stuff, okay? First of all, if you are certainly battling suicidal thoughts. So, you know, that's one of the things I know it's hard to talk about and people like to hear that. But, you know, that's part of the problem is we have to create an atmosphere and a safe place where people can talk about it. And, you know, it's hit close to home recently. The TWU had a professor who committed suicide just recently. 31-year-old lady, as a pastor who recently, we posted on our Facebook to pray for his family, a pastor, married two kids, two little boys, recently committed suicide. There's a couple other situations, I won't go into detail about them, but close to home. So it is there. And so I want to say to you, as I said to every service, that if you're battling those thoughts, and if you're in a deep, dark depression, you're not thinking clearly, and you start to think and believe that, you know, everybody would be better off without me. Nobody's going to miss me. This is never going to get better. And you start to have those suicidal thoughts. You need to reach out to someone. And when you do, you're not going to get judgment. You're not going to get shame. You're going to get help. We pray you're going to get hope. You're going to get healing. Two things I would say of that. Number one, there's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. If you can put that up there on the screen. So there's that number right there. Okay. 273-8255, 1-800. Every single one of us, I'll be honest with you, we all need to have it in our phone. I have it in mine. You need to have it in your phone. If it's not for you, it might be for somebody else. What are you going to do if God brings somebody into your path and they're talking about suicidal thoughts and they're talking about, and you're going to give them counsel, you're going to pray for them. Practical thing is you're going to give them, I've got that in my phone right here. Here's the number, right? So it's a good way to encourage, help people. It's also, if you're struggling, this is a resource. And then my email address is up there too. You can reach out to me in confidence. It comes straight to me. Nobody else sees that. I don't talk about that with people. Just to help you. I want you to know there's help. There is help. You've got to reach out. If you are at that place, you need to reach out, because people want to help you. We want to help you here at Grace Point. That's why we're doing this series, man, to provide hope and healing to those that are struggling. Now, that being said, we have a support group that meets right now for people struggling with depression, anxiety. The Lord's blessed that in the sense that many people are getting coming for help and stepping out and reaching out, which I know is not an easy thing, man. So just bless those people and for coming and taking that step, and that they're finding encouragement. It's grown so much, which we're grateful for, people needing help, that we have to start another group. Because we have just a number of people that are coming, and we need to start another group. So this Wednesday night, this is a new beginning, fresh start for you, right? Maybe this is for you, man. We're going to start a new group at 6:15. Just come to the lobby out there, and we'll get you in there to the group. Chris Pope is the man of our church, a member of our church. He's going to be leading this group. Now, Chris, also, if you go to a Facebook page, Grace Point Facebook page, which many of you have, or to our website, you'll see there that we talk about how Chris is joining the Grace Point staff in a part-time capacity as a care pastor. And he's creating Pathways Ministries, which is a ministry to people walking through, you know, difficult seasons of life. All the information is on our website. So you can go there, you can read more about it, and the ministry that Chris is going to be starting there, and how he'll really bless us here at Grace Point. So Chris has agreed to lead that class. That's that second support group. It'll be dealing with depression, anxiety, 6:15 here in the lobby. And I want to invite you to come. Now, Chris has a full-time job, so this is just a part-time situation for him. Chris currently works as the director of chaplain and bereavement services with Dignity Hospice, and he has a lot of ministry experience that he brings to our church staff. He holds a bachelor's degree from Southwestern Theological Seminary in theological studies. Prior to coming to Grace Point, Chris ministered for 5 years with an inner city mission ministry in Lewiston, Maine. And about 4 to 5 years ago, the Lord called him back here to Grace Point, he and Mary and their children, and they've been with us since then. So this is just a great opportunity for us to have Chris, and Chris will lead this group. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Maybe that's your next step to find healing, okay? I'll be in the lobby. Pastor Jeff will be in the lobby. Pastor Guy will be in the lobby. You find one of us, we take you right in there. We introduce you to him, get you settled, and we're praying that that's going to be a step for you to take that will bring you that healing and that hope and that encouragement. So just another ministry here at Grace Point to try and encourage you and to help you. Now, let me give you these last few things. I'm not going to preach them because of our time restraints here. But in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 and 39, I think it shows us how Jesus fought off depression as he was in this heavy, just sorrowful time. Listen to what it says. "In talking with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began," talking about Jesus, "to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them," Jesus said this, "my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. So the weight of it, remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So there's these six things, I think, how Jesus fought at depression from that text right there. Number one, first of all, he chose close friends to be with him. That's in verse 37. One lady said one time, I wrote it down, if it hadn't been for my daughter standing on the land before me as the waves of depression kept threatening to pull me down, I'm honestly not sure I would have survived. So close friends, family, friends to be with him. Number two, he opened his heart to them. He shared, be vulnerable, share your struggles. That's what Jesus did in verse 38. Number three, he asked for help. That's the part where we ask others to fight with you and fight for you, to fight for you, to help you, to hold you up through that time when you're too tired. Number four, he prayed to his Father in heaven. Call out to God. We're praying. Number five, he rested in the sovereignty of God. Matthew 26, 39. He rested in the sovereignty of God. And number six, he fixed his eyes on the glorious future that awaited him on the other side of the cross. Where's your focus? What are you focusing on? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He fixed his eyes on the glorious future that awaited him on the other side of the cross. Let's stand together. Will you stand with me as we just finish this morning? Let's stand together. 1 John 5, 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So that is the truth, that we are overcomers. Regardless of what lies depression tells us, we can overcome. There is hope with God. I want to finish by reading this. I've read it before, but I think there's a number of new people, so I want to encourage them also. I'll leave it out at the resource table. This is just to finish and just to remind us who we are in Christ. Every single statement I make has a scripture verse next to it. This is the truth in the face of depression's lies. This is the truth of who you are. First of all, as he says, a child of God. You are God's child. You are Christ's friend. You have been justified. You have been united with the Lord. You have been bought with a price. You are a member of Christ's body. You are a saint. You have been adopted as a child of God. You have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. You have been redeemed and forgiven for all of your sins. Amen. You are complete in Christ. You are free forever from condemnation. You are assured that all things work together for good. You are free from any condemning charges against you. You cannot be separated from the love of God. You've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. You are hidden with Christ. You can be confident that the good work God has begun in you will be perfected. You are a citizen of heaven. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. You can find grace and mercy in your time of need. You are born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are a witness of Jesus. You are God's temple. You are a minister of reconciliation for God. You are God's co-worker. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. You are God's workmanship. You can approach God with freedom and confidence. You are valuable. You are loved. You are needed. You are seen. You are accepted. You are a child of the living God. Amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Yes, yes. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you, Father, that we belong to you, that we are safe in your hands, God. We are safe that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because you are with us. And no matter how we feel today, that promise rings loud and clear and true in our hearts and our minds. And so I pray for those, God, walking through darkness right now. I pray for those who are afraid to face today and tomorrow. I pray for those who are tired and weary and worn out. And I pray, God, through your power and your grace and your promises, you bring renewal of faith and you restore hope in every single heart and life that is discouraged and depressed today. That we have hope. We have confidence. We have faith. We have been redeemed. We have been ransomed. We belong to you. And we are safe in your presence. And may we dwell there today. We are thankful. In Jesus' name we're praying. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, our prayer folks are going to come to the front. And our encouragers, if you guys will just come and just stand along the front here. And maybe this morning you want to come and you want us to pray for you. I'll be here at the front and others. Chris is up here. And you want us to pray for you, we certainly welcome that opportunity. You may be walking through a difficult time. May not even be related to anything I've preached on today. It may just be a hard time you're going through. Or maybe you want to come and pray for somebody else who's walking through it right now. We invite you to come.